This is Cave Scott Allen of OTCO.com.
This is Kevin Dente.
This is John Galloway.
This is Scott Kuhn from LazyCoder.com.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Herding Code. This is being recorded on August 26, 2011. And tonight we are talking to Sarah Chips. We spoke to Sarah almost exactly a year ago about her new enterprise, Girl Develop It, a program to help teach women about how to code and how to ship products. And so we wanted to circle back with Sarah and see how things have gone over the last year, what's been going on. So welcome, Sarah. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you guys for having me. It's always fun to be on Herding Code.
So last time we spoke, it was the first day of your first class. So catch us up. What's been going on?
Right. I remember that conversation because I was kind of still spinning from, because we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know what we were planning. So we just kind of threw something together and we had hoped that we could convince some people to come take some classes. You know, obviously there's a big issue with there being a ratio in software development of female to male that is, there's a lot more men than women. And we just still can't really figure out why. You know, it's a great environment. Everyone's really encouraging. And we don't think it's the people in the environment. We don't know what's going on. So we thought, you know, maybe we could teach some classes and have some people come and, you know, just really have it be not threatening and maybe make them comfortable if they have any questions they're weird asking about. And maybe women will be more comfortable if they're around a bunch of other women. So the first class, I remember we just kind of hoped that anyone would show up. You know, we were like, oh, okay, I guess like if no one shows up, we can always have our moms come and like whatever. And our first class sold out pretty quickly and the class is following as well. And so now each class has, so it's more like a course. So each course has four classes. So, our first class that we taught was HTML CSS, and that had four classes of 2 hours apiece. And it's just entry level. It actually gets pretty advanced towards the end. Whenever I sit in that class, I still learn a ton. So we started out with HTML CSS, and then our second class we added was JavaScript and jQuery, and that one was selling out right away. And then what was the third one we added? I believe it was object-oriented, an introduction to object-oriented programming, which we're going to be revisiting. We don't offer that one monthly yet. But now we, in New York, we teach almost 150 women a month, and we offer up to 5 different courses a month, so 20 classes altogether. And we have 5 teachers, and we're going strong. And we are in 6 cities now as well, so that's super exciting.
You said you have 5 teachers in 6 cities. Does that mean you 5 teachers are covering those 6 cities then? I mean,
no, we have 5 teachers in New York. And other teachers in different cities.
So yeah. How big totally, you know, how big is the total group that's teaching?
So each city has, sometimes it's just, so usually in each city, we look for someone to lead the classes, Okay. Kind of like the city lead. And then they have 1, 2, 3 teachers. So I'd have to say all together, with everyone involved in administration and stuff, there's about 20, 25 of us.
So how did you find the teachers? Did you have to go recruit them, or did they just sort of come out of the woodwork when they heard about the program?
They kind of came out of the woodwork when we started the program. Two of our best teachers in New York, Izzy and Alexis, they were people that just started TAing at classes and just kind of just reached out to us. Alexis actually came on pretty early on, Alexis Goldstein. She is an independent coder. She teaches a lot, and she does. She just came out with an HTML5 book recently. So we met her about 2 months in when she was TAing a class, and I actually ran into her at Cool Story at a flamethrower class. I took a class on how to build flamethrowers. There's this really awesome place in Brooklyn, and they're called the Madagascar Project. And they just do crazy stuff. Like for Maker Faire, they built a carousel with a jet engine that people could ride on. And the sign on the carousel, this is the sign on the carousel said "Safety second." And so they had a
that's awesome.
I know. So they had a flamethrower class, and my friend Tom actually invited me to go. And coincidentally, Alexis, who had been TAing up until that point, was there. And so she mentioned she wanted to get involved. So she's been a great addition. You know, she's been with us from the beginning. So most teachers we find us.
Okay, note to self, don't piss off Sarah. She has a flamethrower. So that's a lot of classes you guys are teaching every month. Where do you teach them?
So we teach them all over the place, co-working spaces, startups. It's been great. The community in New York has been really supportive, and they've all been donating space to us recently. In the beginning, we paid for some spaces, but lately we've been using all donated space, which is awesome. And we've actually been able to see the inside of some really cool places, you know, like meetup.com and Etsy and Pivotal Labs and Union Square Ventures. They have an amazing space that we're using right now for JavaScript, and the whole space is controlled by one iPad. It's really awesome. All kinds of cool spaces that have been donated for our classes, which is really great of people.
So I noticed you've got some sponsors listed on the Girl Develop It sponsors page. So everything's covered by sponsorship, or do people pay anything for the classes, or how does that work?
So the classes are $20 a piece, which for a course works out to $80. And the classes are self-sustaining. So we don't get any cash sponsorship. The sponsorships that we get are spaces, and sometimes, you know, if we have an event, beer and food and wine and that kind of thing. We've had people donate books, which has been to our students, which is amazing. We have a library now and stuff like that. But the classes support themselves. Most of the money goes to the teachers. We think our teachers are our best asset. And we want people that really care about what they're doing, and we don't want them to have to volunteer. So we pay our teachers, you know, decently, not really competitively. You know, they could be making hands over fist if they wanted to give, you know, HTML classes and charge a ton. But we like to think we pay our teachers pretty well for the social enterprise that we're doing.
And what about equipment and tools and things? I mean, are people responsible for bringing their own PCs, for example, or do you have a bevy of them available?
So we have a couple of donated laptops, probably about five or six, that we use for people that don't have laptops. Most people, though, bring laptops. So if they don't have one, they can reach out to us, and we'll make sure to have one there for them. But in most cases, students bring their own laptops.
And what kind of software tools and things do you have the students use? I mean, do you teach them, you know, Vim or TextMate or any of that stuff, or you kind of leave it up to them?
So for like HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, also we have a PHP MySQL class. All of those we've been using Aptana, which is a free IDE that you can get online. And what was important to us is that you could use it on both a PC and a Mac. So we use Aptana for all of that. And then I think that's pretty much the only thing that's standard throughout classes that the students download. And usually we'll send them an email before class to download it, and we'll have some USB sticks at class if they need to, if they don't have it yet.
So, I guess one question of, you know, success or whatever is how has it worked as far as, you know, do you have any like success stories of people going through the class and being able to move into the field or just be happy with what they've learned or, you know, anything like that?
Or launched any products?
That too.
Right. So it's been interesting because we didn't know what to expect as we went. You know, we didn't know if like people would like wake up after the first class and be like, I'm a developer now, you know, or people would not learn anything, or they'd decide, you know, the first couple classes, I always joke about this, but the first classes we had to, teaching is a lot harder than it looks. Like, I was like, all right, right. So all I have to do is like, I do this stuff every day. I'm just going to go tell these ladies how to do it, and then we'll be done. Like, what? And it's, you know, it's very challenging. Like, people learn all kinds of different ways, and they're comfortable in different situations. And some people speak up in some situations, some people don't. So I'm pretty sure there was a few classes in the beginning where I may have like effectively turned off a room, like full of women to developing ever. but no, we've, so what's come of it is that we have had, so So we polled our students, and about 45% of them want to quit their jobs and become professional developers, or want to change careers, or they want to become professional developers. About 40% of them work closely with developers, or they have their own startup. They want to start a startup, or they just want to understand what developers are talking about, what they're saying. So that's why they take our classes. So that 45%, and we appreciate the 40% of people that want to learn more. And that's what we're here for, you know, to help people learn more. We focus on that 45% of people that want to become developers. And, those people, we've had quite a few success stories. One girl moved to Austin and, to start school for computer science. And she's actually working with Girl Develop at Austin now. We've had a lot of girls, you know, in their jobs, either be able to pick up things that they weren't able to before, like people in administration work that are now doing Facebook development, and, you know, people that are, we have a lot of designers that are now able to be, you know, like front end developers. You know, they can now do JavaScript and things like that. So that's been really rewarding. What's kind of happened is in all of the classes, there are people that are really passionate about it, and we find them at our events, you know, like our hackathon and other hackathons we've gone to and things like that. And, you know, we've developed a relationship with them. We want to work to get them to that next step of, you know, maybe leaving their jobs and becoming, you know, professional developers and things like that.
Do you find that it's a lot of the same people going through each course? In other words, are they starting with HTML and then learning the full stack, or are they kind of coming in and out?
In some cases, that's the case. In a lot of cases, we've had students take up to 7 or 8 classes. We also have people that know HTML already, so they'll take JavaScript and jQuery. About 20% of our students are frequent flyers, so that 20% of our students have taken more than one class. And then the rest of them, you know, some of them just kind of pop in and out and stuff like that. So, a lot of them, yes, they do. HTML is our beginner class. So we always direct people in that way. And then they'll take JavaScript next and then PHP and stuff like that.
Do you have, I'm wondering, you know, sometimes with a class, it's hard to know both, I mean, definitely for the teacher and then also for the people in the class, it's hard to know how much you're picking up. Do they have any kind of practical exercises or, I mean, I wouldn't expect tests or, you know, I mean, ways of gauging how much people have picked up?
Right. So about 50% of the class is like slides and teaching. So it's a 2-hour class each time. So we spend an hour doing slides and teaching concepts and things. And then the second hour is basically a lab where it's hands-on and, you know, you're not leaving your first class until you've produced something, you know, whether it's a web page or your first function or different things like that. We also have homework throughout the week, and we have teacher's assistants in class that make sure that everyone stays in the same spot. You know, we don't lose anyone because it's really easy, especially when, you know, everyone's at a different pace. You know, some people are very beginner, some people are power users, and we make sure not to, in that hour that we're doing lab, we make sure not to lose anyone. Like, I've gotten better at, because, like, some people are really uncomfortable, and I can get it. I've been in classes before where things are going too fast for me, and I'm just like, whoa, you know, and I'm maybe not so comfortable being like, you are going too fast for me, I don't get it. So I've become really in tune to, like, the facial expressions or the, you know, I'll get better, but the facial expressions, the reactions of people that are not in the same spot as everyone else. And that's why we have our TAs, because they'll go sit next to them and, you know, fix any bugs that they might have and help them with the confusion and try to get them on the same pace. So we do our best to make sure that we don't lose anyone and no one feels like it's over their head.
Do you ever find that there are people that just don't get it or just can't get it?
So there are people that I feel are very frustrated by development in general. I think it's, I feel them. I think to them, it's surprising how much debugging there is. I teach JavaScript and jQuery now. I used to teach all the classes, but now I only teach one, not all of them that we have now, but I used to teach, you know, JavaScript and HTML because, you know, we only had one teacher, but now I just teach JavaScript. And so I see a lot of people that are just like, wait, you're telling me that like a parenthesis is going to break everything so it can't work until I figure out that it's missing, or like a semicolon or something ridiculous like a quotation mark? And the look on their faces is like, you've got to be kidding me. And I'm like, you know, welcome to development.
Yeah.
Like, You know, like, you just, and I explained to them, like, in the beginning, it's really hard to find that stuff. But after a while, you know, when you're used to knowing that it's you've left out a quotation mark somewhere or something.
I still have that same reaction from time to time. So you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Seriously. I always tell them the nightmare story when I had a closing script. I had a self-closing script tag. And I had like a talk the next morning, and I just like put, I was including jQuery, and I did a self-closing script tag, and most HTML parsers or most apparently won't parse a self-closing script tag. And that took me about 6 hours.
And that is definitely, like, I mean, for a lot of things, I can think of it as like, okay, you know, code, the compiler is as smart as an ATM machine or a phone, you know, dialing a number on the phone, if I get it wrong, it's not going to work. But there are things like that where you're like, why would anyone do this? Like, not that the computer's weird, but the language is bizarre, you know, and self-closing script tags particularly, and other self-closing tags that can and can't be self-closed. It's just kind of like, there's no reason to this.
And there's no error either. Like, it just doesn't see your script. So, I was going bonkers for a while. But yeah, so that I try to tell people to just kind of, you know, like, this is what it is. If you don't like tracking these things down, then you're not going to like development. You know, you're just, because no matter how good you are, you run into issues. And I always say, like, when you get to be a better developer, you just run into harder issues. You know, like, it's not like all of a sudden you're like, now I'm perfect. Like, you can code a lot faster, but you're just running into things that you didn't run into before because you're dealing with more complicated stuff. So, you know, if you don't mind that, you know, and that's something that's interesting to you, then you'll probably like it. But if that's something that, you know, you don't like, then it's probably not for you. So I think there's some people that we lose because of that. Like, they're like, oh, forget it. I'm not going to spend my life tracking down semicolons.
You know, this is, I mean, it's always tricky speculating about things, but about different demographics in developing. But I think that we talked to Llewellyn Falco about this, and I'm not sure if it was him, because he works with teaching kids programming, and he said that a lot of their work is with, you know, like high school age girls or younger, like, you know, early teen girls, and I think he was saying that some of it can be like, there's just cultural things about, like, for instance, computer games, you know, and which is just kind of generally more culturally a lot of the time things that, you know, young, like, boys do. And I think with that, there's also the, you know, like, when you're playing a computer game, if you do something, like, there's a right way to do something, and if you do it wrong, it's just your character dies or whatever, you know.
That's funny. That's the reason I'm not a gamer. I'm like, because I mean, like, I'm not a gamer. And I've tried before, like, because believe me, like, everyone in this field's a gamer. So I'm like, oh, I want to be a gamer. Like, that sounds awesome. But what that ends up happening to me too, where I get to a spot where, like, I die a couple times, and I'm like, well, you know, I can either spend my afternoon figuring out how not to die, or I can do anything else. And I'm like, all right, well, forget it. That's the impact.
I mean, I guess there's like the trade-off of, like, logical versus reasonable, you know, and there's a lot of stuff in with computers, any kind of computer things, it just is not at all reasonable.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. Speaking of which, the one difference that I've seen, and, you know, we've discussed this amongst the teachers, and I don't know if it's because of our age demographic. I can't cite any studies right now, but I was talking to someone a little while ago that said that this was a more female trait. But the one big difference I see, and this is the only difference, like, it's very, it's interesting how much these women really, like, they knock my socks off all the time. Like, they come up with stuff and they say things that I'm just like, I have no idea how you know that, but that is, or how you just figured that out, but that is awesome. But the one difference that I've noticed compared to the computer science classes I've taken, you know, which are largely male, is that, you know, when I was in a computer science class and we learned a new concept, like something that we hadn't gone over before, you know, like, all the guys are like, oh my God, I'm just going to run home and I'm going to, like, make a robot and I'm going to make it do that. And it's just going to turn all the lights in my house off sometimes. And, like, when I'm away from home, I can record things on the television and, like, and all this, they're, like, coming up with all these ways they can use this new technology, you know? And the first reaction I usually get in class when I'm teaching something and there isn't an obvious, you know, practical use is like, okay, that's interesting that that's possible, but, you know, why do I need this? Like, why do I need to know this? You know, like, what is this going to, how does this help my life in general? So it's interesting.
Yeah.
I think and it might be the age as well, because it's most of our students are not, you know, college age, so they don't have all this free time to go home and build these robots and things. But I think, you know, people, they just want like a practical use for what they're learning. Like, I'm learning this, okay, but like, what am I going to end up using this for? You know, like, how does this help my life right now?
I've been looking through your coursework, the training materials, and it looks incredibly well put together, which is great. But I'm wondering, like, a lot of developing for me is there's definitely background information that you need to know just to even get started. And then there's a lot of problem solving where, like, you get stuck and it's not something you've learned or done before. And you've got to know how to find the answer, you know, like how to effectively search right. for it. And the two things is, one, like being able to troubleshoot, and two, having a kind of a support network to ask people. Right. So I'm wondering, you know, do students that are leaving your class get those two things also, the like problem solving and the support network stuff?
Right. So yes, that's really important. And that's something I learned, you know, a few months in, is going over, because, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we take for granted as developers because we know them, you know, and we forget that mm-hmm. we forget what we know and like what we use on a regular basis. So going over the debugging tools is really super important, you know, and I make sure to introduce, you know, in my class, I make sure to introduce them to Firebug and, you know, console statements and, you know, different things to get them going. And what's also interesting too is we're live coding in class. I'm live coding in the front of the class and I am not perfect. So often you know, we'll go to test something that we just built together in class and there's a bug. So, you know, whenever that happens, I make sure to take some time and like, all right, you guys, this is how we're going to figure out what's wrong. We're going to put, you know, a breakpoint here. We're going to log a few variables. We're going to figure it out and just kind of all together, you know, show them this is the process of debugging. And then, of course, we introduce every class to Stack Overflow because we think it's a great tool. And, you know, it's helped me a million times. So, and, you know, we encourage them to reach out to us. But honestly, we don't get people reaching out to us a lot with like debugging issues. So.
Seems like you could teach a whole class just on effective use of Google and Stack Overflow.
Honestly, yeah, you really could.
You know, that's funny. I was expecting more of kind of like, I don't know, that there would be like a Google group or whatever of you know, graduates or, you know, like that. But just pointing people to Stack Overflow is brilliant because that's a great place to get involved and get your questions answered. And cool.
Right.
So how has the curriculum sort of changed and evolved over the course of the last year? And how do you decide what new courses you're adding?
So the curriculum has kind of evolved. So we try to stay, we try to poll our students a lot, especially in the beginning, like what parts did you like? What parts didn't you like? What part was hard? And kind of adjust that way. And then in class, we kind of, in JavaScript, we were doing this whole part about anonymous functions. And anonymous functions are freaking confusing, mm-hmm. especially when you're just learning what a function is, you know? And so we ended up taking out most of the stuff with anonymous functions just because, you know, it was confusing. And it's not necessary to know in order to be able to do JavaScript. You should probably be able to identify them, but you don't have to be able to use them all the time. And just stuff like that. But so we polled our students a lot. And as far as new material, The most overhead in teaching classes is building the curriculum. It takes a lot of time. So we like the fact that we have our reusable curriculum. And in order to introduce something new, a teacher needs to be really excited about building. I mean, like, it takes hours. It takes a long time, you know, so they have to be really interested in building something new. And, you know, all of our stuff is for beginners. So it has to be something that beginners can, you know, easily grasp. And our most kind of ambitious class, which started 2 months ago, and it's been met with, you know, our students love it. And it sounds like a super advanced class. So we have Introduction to Android Development with Java.
Wow.
And Izzy, our teacher, she is awesome. She's actually working on getting her doctorate from Rutgers in Adult Education and New Media. She's studying people born before 1963. And their reaction to the internet as they were adults when the internet came out. So that's what she's getting. Yeah, right? I think it's fascinating. So, but anyway, so she wrote the curriculum and she wrote it in a way it's super friendly for beginners. And all of our students really love it. So it takes a lot of work to build the new curriculum. And that's the only reason. I mean, we'd have a million classes different kinds of classes if not. You know, like we're always saying, oh, I want to teach a SQL class, or like, oh, I want to do stuff like that. But that's our biggest overhead is building curriculum. So in order to have a new class start, it's usually someone's really excited about it, really wants to get something together.
You know, that's good that you point that out. Any time that I do any kind of teaching or presenting, I'm sure anyone else that does that would know, but it's very stressful to present. Mm-hmm. But the huge amount of effort is like, if you're presenting for an hour, I mean, what is four, you know, I've heard different ratios or whatever, but like, you know, a good 4 or 5 hours per hour of teaching, depending on how, structured you want to be. And so like putting a whole day together putting a whole course together it's like you're saying, it's a ton of work to make sure everything flows and everything works. And then having course material that people can download and all that. It's a huge effort. So Izzy has some experience with education. Sorry. So,
yes, she's actually, yeah, she teaches at Pratt Institute as well, which is another place they do programming classes. So yeah, she does have experience.
So has she brought in experience to the rest of you? I mean, has she been able to say, hey guys, here's how we can do the teaching, or hey gals?
Yeah, she's been a real great asset to have. She found us and we're so glad about it. And yeah, whenever I have questions about like, I don't think this is going over well, you know, what do you, can I, you know, what's your opinion? She's always right there with it. So yeah, she is real. She's has been a big help.
And what about your teaching approach? Like how has that changed and evolved as you've gone through this process?
So I'm a real, I learn by doing and watching someone do, you know, that's how I am, you know? So in the beginning, when I was first teaching classes, I was just kind of going in there and writing code and being like, all right, you guys get it? All right. You're right. All right. All right. We're good. All right. You're welcome. You know, like, and people were like, what? You know, but, and so over time, things have evolved, you know, we now have like an hour of slides, and I hate slides, like I really do, but I understand now how important they are, you know, lots of people are visual learners or they need to be able to see like line items or facts about what they're learning, you know, in front of them. And people learn in all different ways. So I try to incorporate that as much as possible. So when we code together, what something that I, you know, during the lab feedback that I got is, you know, when we're coding, it goes really fast. So while I'm doing it, I'm not learning it. So now when we code together, we stop and we take a look at what we've done and we go over every line, you know, just to make sure that like, okay, now this does this. And that's why we did that, just to go over it again, you know, so we don't lose any people on the way. So those are just some ways my curriculum has changed in general.
What's been different about it than maybe that you would have expected originally?
The level of interest has been awesome. You know, like we thought we were going to just put some people in a class and hope that they would want to learn. But it's been a lot better. It's been, you know, our classes have been selling out. Most of our classes have sold out. In August, it was really tough to sell classes, but now we're back up to selling out classes again. And other cities are selling out classes. And that's been a huge surprise for us. And just the outpouring from the community in general, you know, people that, you know, we admire and look up to reaching out to us and being like, hey, I love what you're doing. What can I do to help? You know, like that has been huge and amazing.
So speaking of the other locations, how did the spread to other locations happen? Did people come to you or did you sort of push it out?
Yeah. So in all the locations, except for Philly was so close that I was like, we need to find someone in Philly to do it, you know, but people have reached out to us, and that's kind of how it's grown, because it's a big responsibility, you know, like it's a lot of work and you can't do it unless you really care about it. You know, it's not. So, you know, we need people that care about it, and they usually reach out to us and they'll be like, I really love this. I want to start one in my city. How do I do it? So we've been fortunate to have a bunch of really awesome women reach out to us and want to do what we're doing. So we've been, I mean, it's a process. Like we've been learning. We didn't know what we were doing when we were first starting other cities. And now we have kind of a formula for it, but we're still learning as we go.
And do they generally just take your curriculum and use that?
We offer it to them, and they usually put their own twist on it, at least, if not write their own stuff, which is very cool. We like encourage them to be, because like only they know their city. Like we're in New York, and New York is a different city than any other city, you know, like, and their city is different than any other city. So we encourage them to like, you know your city better, you know how things work.
And yeah. Then are they feeding stuff back into you guys to say, this is what's working here, this isn't?
Yeah. So we take a lot of cues from them. Like, in fact, we were just talking. I was just talking to Vanessa, and she's who started Girl Develop It with me. Because, like, we're going to restyle. We have a new logo now. So we're going to restyle the blog. And I was like, look at what GDI Philly has on the background of their Twitter. Totally steal that for the blog. Like so they, like, they're always, they always knock our socks off with the cool stuff that they come up with and the cool nights. They'll have like a hack night or like all these new ideas of what they're working on. In Columbus, they're working on online classes, you know, stuff like that. So yeah, they come up with a lot of stuff. We're actually doing our first leader meeting on Sunday. I'm really excited. We're going to use Google Plus and all the like city leaders are going to be on and we're going to talk about, you know, issues we run into and things we enjoy and questions that we have. And I think that's going to be really rewarding.
Wow. You know, you mentioned that about the logo and just in general, the design across all the Girl Develop It, like the branding and design is all really nice and cohesive, which is cool, especially like you're using different, like you use Meetup and Tumblr and your own site. So is that, do you have one person that's like your main design lead or do you kind of all share in that or how does that work?
We all share in it, but the new site is done by Srina Nagai, and she kind of sent it to us and we were like, oh, we love this. So so yes, she has done a lot of our stuff with the new logos and stuff like that. But yeah, we're actually, this is something that we're learning as we go, like brand uniformity and how much we care about that. Like if that's important to us or if we like everyone having their own image and like what they're up to, because like we do have like a logo and everyone kind of has their own interpretation of it. But, you know, like personally, I don't care at all, you know, like, but can people recognize the different logos and things? I mean, it's just, it's interesting stuff you learn as you go with this kind of thing.
The current classes I see listed, you know, like you said, there's JavaScript and HTML and the PHP MySQL class. And then, you mentioned Rails and you mentioned Android. I guess one thing I was wondering is, are there other like follow-on classes? Like, do you have an advanced or, you know, going further? Because like, you know, like, I don't know any of those JavaScript. You can get started. You can get enough to be dangerous in JavaScript in a few weeks, but then, you know, how much further? Is there like a second level class or anything?
We are planning on doing advanced classes down the road. We don't have them yet, but we have a lot of requests in for advanced classes. Okay. So,
and then yeah. Do you do like, I could see also the kind of thing, like scaling down from that, but like seminar kind of things, you know, where you'd have people that are, I don't know, there's like, you know, short intro to something or something, like, you know, do you have any seminar style?
So we just had a request for that actually the other day with someone that was like, I really want to take like a few afternoons and know that I'm going to walk out with a website, you know, like the one that I, mm-hmm. you know, how can we get that? There's been word of a conference floating around, which by word, I mean a couple emails. We that would be lovely one day. Our only challenge right now is Vanessa and myself, we get paid very little to run Girl Develop It, and we do not care because we love it. It is, you know, part of our hearts, and like, it is, I can't even tell you how rewarding it is to meet and to work with all the women and men. We have male students as well. About 15% of our students are men. You know, like all the women and the men who are interested in becoming developers and want to learn this stuff. So it's definitely rewarding, but it does put a limit on just what we're capable of as far as expansion and as far as the kind of stuff that we can do. You know, Vanessa works for Paperless Post. She is their data wizard. She has an official job title, but I'm not. she does analytics for them and kind of a lot of server admin stuff. So she has like a 40-hour a week job, and myself, I'm independent, but I do have about 40 to 50 hours a week for, about 40 hours a week for clients now. So it's definitely like what we can fit into our schedules, kind of.
That's kind of a side note, but since you mentioned it, what is your work mostly lately like? Is it just general web development all over the place? Or?
I've been focusing on all JavaScript. So I do lots of different cool JavaScript projects and challenges, like browser plugins and, you know, company-specific frameworks and things. So I've actually, you know, it's hard that you can find like a JavaScript developer, you know, because usually you have to be a front-end developer or, you know, something like that. But here in New York, I've been able to be just JavaScript, which has been awesome.
Is there going to be a Node.js class coming?
I want to take a Node.js class because I haven't done any Node yet. So there's actually a Node knockout coming out this weekend. And I'm thinking about like just going and like creepily standing behind people so I can like see what they're working on and stuff.
Trying to think.
So so what's next for Girl Developed? Where would you like to go with it?
That's a really great question. Right now we're just focusing on, getting the chapters stable and making sure they have everything they need. We had our first hackathon over the summer, which was really awesome. We think hackathons are usually pretty gross. You know, they're, it's usually like 100 guys and like 10 girls, and there's usually beer and pizza, and you sleep on the floor if you sleep, and you don't shower all weekend, and, you know, like, so we love the idea of a hackathon, but we hate the implementation. So we did our own hackathon, and one of our sponsors, a woman named Deborah Jackson, who's been a great friend of Girl Develop It, and she has a company called Jump Through, which is a women's business accelerator. She donated a 7-bedroom house in the Hamptons for a weekend.
Wow.
Yes, so she got it catered as well. We got sponsors to cater it. We had lots of wine and delicious food.
So you know how to run a hackathon, huh?
Yeah, so we built a game. It's called Commuting in Traffic, and it's for the whole weekend was designed to do something to benefit causes that are fighting human trafficking. So Commuting in Traffic is like a choose-your-own-adventure type game. It's commutingintraffic.com, and it's all about your adventure visiting New York and different, you think New York, New York's an amazing place, but there's a lot of issues with human trafficking, even here in New York, that you would never know about. So the game is about educating people more about it. And then in the end, we prompt them to donate or reach out and report something if they've ever seen something suspicious or something like that. We are really inspired by the game Get Spent, which is a really cool type game. It's like a flash game, and it walks you through. It challenges you to try to live in the shoes of someone less fortunate for a little while. So it was a lot of fun, and there was 17 of us, and a lot of them were students. We had an application process, and they just knocked my socks off. They really, I was so impressed by the end of the weekend at what our, cause you know, I didn't expect much from them, you know, because they are, I didn't expect, because they're students, right? So they've never done anything like this before. They're not developers. I went into the weekend being like, all right, it's going to be great to have them. It might slow us down a little bit, but it'll be okay because this will probably be a good experience. But the opposite was true. They contributed a lot. They were coding away, and I was really impressed with them. So it was awesome.
So how can people get that game? Is that public?
Yep, it's commutingintraffic.com. And we do not support IE yet. We've had some IE issues. So if you have IE, you have to use another browser.
Do you think that Girl Develop It is something that could develop into a business? Or is that something you would be interested in?
So this is actually a talk that Vanessa and I had this week. And it is a business. We are an LLC now, and you know, we're official. We have a tax code and everything, which is, it's so grateful for Vanessa because I'm so bad at those things. So she's been in charge of... She's been really great at taking care of that stuff and finances and things. So we are technically a business.
I guess I mean a full-time gig.
Right. So what we are talking about this week is Vanessa and I are both software developers, and we love it. Like, we have goals for ourselves as software developers. I love what I do. She loves what she does. And neither of us want to become administrators, you know, like we don't want to become school administrators, but that doesn't mean that, you know, that Girl Develop It can't grow, but we don't want to do it full time. So that's kind of the challenge that we're met with right now. We love it and we think it's a great outreach, but part of what we do is we are full time software developers, and that's why we do this. So we don't want to give that part up. So that we're trying to figure that out now.
This is kind of jumping back a ways a little bit, but you were talking about how had donations of different things. Are there ways that listeners can get involved? I don't know, donating, say, books, or I noticed also you had on your blog something about donating laptops. Are there other ways that listeners or companies can support you?
books are always welcome. We don't have a lot of places to store them. So books are welcome-ish if they're awesome. Like, we don't want your coding in Cobalt for something, but we appreciate it. We just don't have any room for it, if that's even a book. But laptops are appreciated as well. You know, use laptops. Our students, some of them don't have laptops and they still want to take the class. So we want to be able to offer that to them. So any stuff like that, you can just reach out to board at Girl Develop It and we can point you in the right direction. As far as companies as well, like in all the cities that we're in, we need space. Space is our most needed commodity, you know, because we've had great people donate space, but we don't like to overstay our welcome, you know. So we'll have a class at a space for a couple months. And there have been some spaces that like AOL has been awesome, and they've given us, they have a ton of space and they've been giving it to us for the past few months. They've been really generous with us. But we understand that if you're a startup and you have 40 people, every Monday night can't be Girl Develop It night, you know? So we have classes, you know, 2 or 3 months in a row at a space, and then we need a new space to move on to. So space is, if you're a company and you have, we need a room for 30 people in desks. So our class is about 30 to 35 folks, and they have desks and they need somewhere to sit with their laptops and a projector. That's pretty much what we need. So that's always welcome if you have some space.
So is that the kind of thing where if you got more cash contributions from people, then you could, you know, rent the space and instead of relying on the kindness of strangers?
Yeah. So if we got more cash contributions from people, it would open us up to a lot more. I am really weird about, I think there are certain people in the world that are good at asking for money, that are like, you know, but I feel really awkward about it. But it would allow us to, you know, to do a lot more things, including expand more and, you know, get space. But we've been pretty good with donated space. But in some cases, like in Austin, they pay for their space. And in Philly, they've had donated space so far. But often when you don't have a huge startup community, you don't have a lot of people running around being like, hey, you know, can we do anything for you? So, cash would open us up to a lot more things. And, you know, we've considered pursuing it in the past. There's a lot of grants and things out there that we could get probably pretty easily. But the issue with that is the amount of time spent you need to spend in order to get these things. It's like, okay, so this week I can either spend 10 hours on Girl Develop It, you know, where, you know, like doing things for Girl Develop It currently, or I can spend 10 hours, you know, applying for grants that I may or may not get, and the Girl Develop It stuff goes by the wayside. So that stuff is difficult.
Yeah. And I mean, you do then also, you have administration overhead with that and dealing with taxes and all that, you know, like making sure you're, yeah.
Right.
I know that there are people out there that have a gift for that. So too, if you're listening and you just know about grants or you know, please help them out. Cause I know cases where people have just kind of popped in and said, hey, I can help line you up with a grant. And then all of a sudden someone has a grant and they didn't have to do any work, which is neat.
Yeah, that is really neat. And there are people that are really good at that, and they've like done it in the past quite a few times, you know, and that would be great to have.
I noticed that looking at your map of where you are, that it's all that the West Coast is sadly not representing itself well.
Yes, we need a Bay Area branch.
You know what? I just got another email today about Bay Area. We have a lot of teachers there, like a lot of potential teachers there. So I have a feeling that they're going to be next, because we have had a lot of people reaching out, like, why isn't there something like this here? So we have a couple contacts there, and we just had an email with Vanessa about the Bay Area. So hopefully that'll be the next place.
So you mentioned that 10-15% of your people in your classes are men.
Yeah.
I'm curious, how does that work exactly?
Well, what's important to us is that the females are comfortable. We don't want to be sexist. Like, we're not leaving anyone out. Like, that's the whole point. It's like, well, you know, like, we don't feel like sexism is an issue right now in the industry so much. You know, there, of course, have been probably events on the side of both genders. But in our personal experience, we haven't experienced any type of sexism or issues like that. However, we want to make sure to have a great environment. And we don't want to leave anyone out, you know. The guys in our classes are welcome. You have to be okay with taking our overhead, like our barrier to entry is you have to be okay with taking a class called Girl Develop It. If you are, then you are welcome. And, you know, they're great to have. Not, None of the guys, like the guys that we've had, they've all only contributed to our open and supporting environment. So it's been great.
And generally, is it like the guy there with his girlfriend, or is it just a guy that is coming off the street?
Just a guy that's coming off the street, you know, like a guy that's interested in, I mean, like, hey, it's kind of smart. I mean, these classes are $20 a piece. So, you know, like if you're interested in learning about development, it's the way to do it, I think. We've had guys, they usually either guys we know or guys that we don't know. And you know, we haven't had any issues at all. So it's been great.
You know, I was wondering, there's a lot of work that goes into having a, you know, classroom. You're talking about space and you're talking about, you know, developing all the coursework and all that. And I was wondering if there are potentials for doing like online meetings. I know you used to do that LAN party. And, you know, both like live events and then also like recorded events, you know, like maybe even recording a class and making it available for people who aren't actually in the class or, you know, aren't able to make a week or something like that. Do you have any kind of, you know, plans or wishes if you had time or anything like that to do any kind of more virtual work?
Right. So, yes, we would like, in fact, Columbus is trying it right now, doing some online classes. The only issue is that a lot of our time in class when we're doing labs is spent, and, you know, like this isn't anything to do with the students. It's that first time development is difficult. And it's really important to have that person that can sit next to you and look at your screen and find that stupid parenthesis that you know, you can't find. And online, you really can't do that. So we've tossed that idea around a lot because it would be great because we could teach like 80 people at a time, you know, but it's not so
interactive. Or
Exactly. So, I mean, we're going to see how it goes with Columbus, but I don't know if it's something that's in our future yet.
I'm running out of questions.
Me too.
Are there any main or major areas we haven't talked about that are interesting?
That's a good question. I think we've covered it. The hackathon, that was fun. One thing that's interesting is that last weekend, we had so much fun at the hackathon that we did another hackathon this past weekend. And I invited some students, and it was actually just me and three other students. It turned out to be, and we did something called Photo Hack Day, which was a lot of fun. And it was basically a bunch of photo-related APIs like Flickr and Aviary and Face.com API and stuff. And it was like a challenge to see who could build the coolest stuff. So we built something called Stash or Stash. It's not online right now. Working on some Heroku stuff when I get a chance. But it's an exciting application that actually removes mustaches from faces because we think they're super creepy. So we actually won for the best use of the Aviary API. So we won a gift card, JetBlue gift card, which was awesome. So it was a lot of fun. But if it's cool now that we're putting teams together for hackathons, that's really fun. I think that's we'll develop it.
Awesome stuff.
Well, thank you, guys. I'm glad that we got to catch up.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. Keep up the great work. I look forward
thank
to
you.
A Bay Area chapter.
Yes, it's awesome. I will definitely keep you posted.
Thank you.
All right.
Listeners, if you can help out in different ways, please do. And the place people can always find girldevelopit.com, I guess, is kind of the central.
Right, yep, and there's contact information on there and all kinds of stuff.
Okay, well, that's it for this show. Join us next time for another episode of Herding Code.